Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
And now it's time to talk about how one must react when things get shaken up.
It's true, no, because on the back of 2020, COVID-19, we've seen how a lot of business leaders have been pushed to think out of the box so they can get themselves out of messy situations. Some have done well and some have not.
Yes, it's true. And being a leader, it's not like any other job. Can you call it a job?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a responsibility.
Yeah. Or maybe even a mindset.
Oh, good point.
Suppose people who are leaders, they have to generate new ideas, they have to lift their organization and their futures, and then they have to convince everyone else to go along with those plans too, right?
That's so true, right? So it's not an easy task, obviously. And we are asking the question of how business leaders can lead their teams the right or correct way, even though they're going through hard times.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a new leader and you realize that you've inherited a mess from your predecessor, I wonder whether that's how Joe Biden's feeling. Can you actually take advantage of the situation you're
in? Had to slip it in, didn't you? Well, on the line with us is Jen Donahue, founder JL Donahue Engineering. Jen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
We are doing fantastic. It's a very nice Wednesday. And we're pleased to be speaking with you about, you know, leadership through messy times or messy situations. You yourself have had a pretty interesting life. You were a naval officer, 25-year service. You were in charge of 1,400 naval personnel, 3 battalions, and the list goes on. That kind of situation, how does it build leadership?
That's a great question. It actually started very small. They would give you small teams to let you practice on and make mistakes. And then as you start to get better at it, then they give you larger and larger teams. But with these larger and larger teams, usually you have greater responsibility, but also larger problems. And you learn to use your problem-solving abilities as you start to grow these teams. And it's one of those things that's so valuable. So what's nice is that they don't just throw you into the deep end with 100 people. Mm-hmm. They usually start you out fairly small.
It's interesting how you've recounted the way that you've managed those situations, because when we read, you know, that you've had to build a bridge, for example, across the Euphrates River in the midst of the Iraq War, that feels like a very emotional proposition. And I feel all the tension that one might feel. But I suppose as a leader, you've got to actually be quite logical and just focus on the job that needs to be done.
You really do. And what it really comes down to is trust in your team. And having that ability to say, I know that they are the subject matter experts in what they are doing, but giving them the guidance and the leadership to let them really do their job. But yes, you have to just put your head down and say, this is the mission. We have to get this right, and believing in your team.
Jen, I got a bit of a diversity question, and I'm it's really more of a curious question. I mean, you've commanded 800 personnel battalion in Afghanistan, Iraq War. You've participated in that. You've constructed combat outposts. You're a woman, and in those high pressure situations, how much does the male instinct come out? Is it difficult to command them or get them under control, or just throw rank at them?
You know, it really depends on the type of people that you're working with. For those that knew me, they knew who I was. They knew my capabilities. They knew my drive and my strengths. And so I didn't really have to throw that around too much. For those who really didn't know me, then yes, I kind of had to put on that air of, you know, being a very stern, very direct person, you know, to get them to understand who I was. But on the most part, those who knew me, because we had been together for a couple of years before we deployed to Iraq and to Afghanistan, they knew my capabilities and I didn't have to fake it, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, wow.
Don't need to send them to the brig.
But Jen, I really want to know, and I wonder if you've got a story that you might want to share. Have you felt pressure? You know, and how have you dealt with it?
I've actually felt lots of pressure, especially while I was in Afghanistan. We were in some pretty terrible situations from time to time. You know, anytime I would fly anywhere, people would shoot at our helicopter. Anytime we'd be on the road, people, you know, would try to, you know, do something to our convoys while we were trying to get from place to place. And so it was a lot of pressure really all the time. And the best way that I could try to get through all of that is really just focusing on what the mission was for that day. and making sure that I was ready to go and that, more importantly, my personnel were also ready to go and that they were safe and I was doing everything that I could for them. Because really, as a leader, what you have to realize is that it's not really about yourself anymore. It's about your team and making sure that they are ready to go. And so that's how I got through a lot of this, is I said, you know what? It's not about me. Mm. It's about them. It's about the mission. That's how I really got through some really, really hard times.
Yeah, and you're talking about all the best parts of military experience and how you can apply them to the real world. But if we're talking about Afghanistan, you're going into a messy situation in that sense. What about in the corporate world where you inherit a messy situation from a former boss? What would you say about that? What would you do with that?
I think that that's actually the best place to go if you inherit a mess. I know that sounds absolutely crazy, but think about it. Now you have the ability to shape that situation yourself. You can say, you can come out, you know, right out of the gate and say, these are my expectations. You know, this is what we need to do on this particular project. I think that whenever you have a messy situation, that's the best place to go because you get to shape it and make it better.
Yeah, but how do you do that? I mean, I was reading a story about one of the former CEOs at Campbell Soup. And when the company was struggling, he wrote tens of thousands of letters to employees and vendors that were associated with the organization just to understand what they thought about the company. And that struck me as an incredibly positive way to use his energy. What would you say to leaders who need to understand the how and the culture of the organization they're working with?
I think it starts by listening. And just like what you did with the Campbell CEO, I think that's what you need to do. Find who your team is. Find who the external stakeholders are and listen to them. They probably have some great ideas on what the issue is and then how to fix it. Then you can take all of that information and really start to make reasonable and meaningful changes at that point. But it really starts by understanding the situation. A lot of times you can't do that unless you listen.
Okay. And just to pick up on that point of listening to others, I mean, to be fair, or in reality, the corporate world is full of selfish people. They look out for their own careers. I mean, it's the reality. How do you get them on board with your ideas, yet at the same time start to forge some kind of a loyalty within this new team that you've inherited?
I've had this situation many times, especially in the engineering career.
Wow.
If you know engineers, we're all kind of blockish, you know, that's just how that we are. But, and so you can get some pretty big egos, when you're talking to folks. And to be honest, most of the people that I've worked with, they've been very good and very reasonable. And it's been very easy to try to get them on the same page as you in trying to forge a new path forward. For those that are a lot more, I'll just say, sticky, as far as they don't want to change and they feel that everything's the right way, I think it's one of those items where you just have to give, like, everything that you can to them. You really have to take their thoughts into account and understand, like, maybe where they're coming from. Maybe they have a different idea than you, but it really takes a lot of personal skills to try to win them over. And those hardest ones, and those, I would honestly say, maybe go back and do some research on dealing with difficult people and see if maybe some of those techniques can help with the different types of attitudes that you might find out there. That's what I've had to do, especially in the engineering side, for some of the people that I've had to work with.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of what you say is around actually connecting with people, communicating with people effectively. One of the things that Elliot and I have both noticed over the last year due to the pandemic is that CEOs, people we've spoken to on the show, have had to change the way that they communicate with their teams. Because look, a lot of their business is being conducted from home over a Zoom screen or Microsoft Teams or something like that. What have been some of the major changes that have had to happen?
Especially with Zoom. What happens so many times is that we get on Zoom and we just go straight into working. You know, we have an agenda and we're trying to make the most of our time. But I would say that we're also losing a little bit of that personal touch. Think about whenever we were back in the office. We would go down the hall. We would meet people in the break room. We would, you know, say, hey, how was your weekend? How are things going? And so you had more of a personal bond with people. It seems like over Zoom now, all we do is we get on and we just hit the ground running. And then when we hang up, and then we don't talk to that person again. I would urge people to just have other one-on-one calls with your team to just say, hey, how are you? How's everything going? What can I do to help you be more effective or more efficient? And having those nice calls where you just get to have that one-on-one personal touch. That's one of the things that we're missing these days with all of the Zoom calls.
The taking the time to connect, you know, even though it's so easy to just see it on the screen. Jen, I might have a difficult one for you, but I completely trust you've got experience in this area. And it's about the importance of mentorship. But I want to spin it a little bit differently. You're a young officer taking over a company or battalion, and there's an experienced hand there. I liken that person to, say, the gunny, someone who's been around for a while, who is very experienced. How do you get that person on board, but at the same time also invoke mentorship, even though you're a bit younger, maybe a little bit less experienced?
That's one of the beautiful things, at least in the military. As a young officer, we look to the senior enlisted, so those gunnies, or in the Navy, they're Navy chiefs. Their whole purpose is to help guide young officers. And so I had Chief Ed Willis, and they paired the two of us up, and he was great because he would always come to me and say, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that?
Wow.
And he was great at mentoring me, and because I had had a situation where I didn't have a chief and I failed miserably. I had no idea what I was doing and I completely wrecked the situation. But when they paired me with this chief, it was so much better because he helped me because he had been within the Navy for 26 years, 29 years, something like that. And so he knew how to lead people. And that was his whole job besides just actually running the crew, was to help mentor me. And that's the same way it is in the Army and the Marine Corps as well.
Wow, I love it.
Yeah, and I have to say, I would love to see more of that in the corporate world. What would be your sort of final words of advice to leaders who are listening now, or those who aspire to be leaders, about being great at that?
I would say find a mentor, if at all possible. You know, maybe somebody not within your own chain of command, but go find maybe one or two different mentors. Maybe there's somebody who's good at finance or somebody who's good analytically. Find them and have them start to mentor you. They've been through all the pitfalls. They've been through all the mistakes. They can help you so it's a little bit easier. And if you're in that position, really think about being a mentor yourself. Think about all of the mistakes that you've made and how you could possibly make things better for some of those young engineers or scientists or financial advisors. So really turn it around as well and start to give back.
We've been speaking with Jen Donahue, who is the founder of JL Donahue Engineering. Jen, really appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate having me on. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.